This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Tuesday, June 13th, the Fantasy Footballers. Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway, back with you yet again. Appreciate each and every one of you joining the show. Appreciate those of you with the courage to share this show with others.
It's very brave.
The fortitude to accept that challenge.
It takes a couple years, and I understand that. Because at first we're like, you know, a secret sauce. Like, oh. But then eventually you're like, have you tried this? I like
you ever
that
tried
sauce.
Building a business around something nobody wants to tell anybody else about?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, the FBI did.
Okay, all right.
I don't know.
If we were government funded, we'd be fine.
Then we would be spies.
That'd be really cool. I would love like to be able to tell people what I do.
It's like the story of the...
when we tell people what we do right now, they assume it's a cover for being in the FBI. There's no way that they think.
So you're unemployed.
Yeah, they do.
You had the guy, Chuck Barris, like back in the 60s, was like involved with all these game shows. And then
he was an FBI guy?
Well, he claimed that he claimed he was a spy for years and years and years. I think eventually he said it was a lie, but
how can you trust that?
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds like something a spy who was no longer a spy would say.
Well, thanks for joining us. Thanks for following the show. At least if you don't want to tell others what you can do, as you can click follow on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, help us out in the ranks, the charts, and all that stuff. Leave us a review. We appreciate you. It's fun to have you on board. The Foot Clan is mighty and strong, and we're excited to have you with us for another episode today. Quite a bit to talk about. I'll try to just hold Mike back. We actually bought a what do they call that? The
horse.
No,
we bought a horse.
I was excited. I wasn't sure what we bought, but it seemed like it might have been a horse.
It wasn't a horse, Jason.
Okay. All right,
I'm gonna make a note though.
What else did you think we might have bought?
Buy horse.
I mean, not that Mike wouldn't just ride around on a horse with the Madison news.
Yeah.
But I was just saying, like, what do they put on people in the insane asylums? The
straitjacket?
That's it.
Slightly different
than a horse. We're going to get into Madison and Dalvin Cook.
You were going to a straitjacket and Jason derailed it with a horse joke?
Yeah, that's where we're at. Here's a heads up right here at the top, because we're going to talk about news today. We're pre-recording this show. So this episode, Thursday's episode, a little bit pre-recorded. It's a vacation week with our families, so we're getting in here. We didn't want to miss any episodes. We wanted you to see our beautiful faces.
Mm-hmm.
But if big news breaks, you're not going to get it today.
Well, I mean, thankfully, one of the things broke.
Yeah, that would have been bad to happen while you were gone, Mike. So we'll talk about that momentarily. We do have a special giveaway. We just gave away a signed Justin Jefferson jersey. We're giving away a signed Garrett Wilson jersey. And you can learn about how to enter over at footclangiveaway.com, doing something a little different with this giveaway. have a chance to share something that you love about the UDK, a story about using the UDK, or maybe telling tale of the championships that you've, you know, the trophies you've been carrying around due to using it, and maybe kicking butt at draft time. So footclangiveaway.com for all the details. Free to enter over there. Signed Garrett Wilson jersey. All right. Before the news.
Oh, come on.
Brooks has a quick question.
Yeah. Put this quick question in the garbage. We got stuff.
Do you want
to
skip it?
No, I want to see Mike suffer. Hold. Go quick.
It was a simple one, Mike. You can answer it as quickly as you want.
Okay.
Is there an offense out there that you think could make the largest points per game increase in 2023?
Okay, the New Orleans Saints. Jason, go.
By the way, last year's biggest jumps were Jacksonville at number one, a 9-point difference from 2021 to 2022. Detroit was second, 7.5-point difference. The Giants, 6-point difference. Miami, 3.7. I actually was surprised that that was so low. Philadelphia, 3.6. So all teams have had great success making that jump. Mike's team is the Saints.
Yeah, so I'll talk about it real quick. There's, I think, some other more likely teams that these guys are going to talk about, but like I'm pretty excited here for the Saints. I think that I do believe Derek Carr is a big upgrade over Andy Dalton. As of now, which we've said this I don't know how many years in a row, but as of now, Michael Thomas looks like he will be back, good to go. I am very, very bullish on Chris Olave taking another step. Hype train season, of course, but all camp news has been very, very positive about Chris Olave looking like he has leveled up already from his fantastic rookie season, which was right next to Garrett Wilson in terms of production, but Olave did miss a few games. So I think that they can take a step up, one, because the offense was so wasn't great last year.
Putrid?
Yeah, I mean – I don't remember the exact numbers for them off the top of my head, but I think that they can be much, much better with this quarterback, with the wide receiver core and the weapons that they have available. So I'm excited to see what they can do. I'm not saying the Saints are taking the leap to win the division or anything like that with Dennis Allen at the helm, but I think they are an offense that that could be being undervalued a bit in drafts right now.
Fourth worst last year?
Is that what they were? I don't know.
They had a drop. 2 points per game between 2021 and 2022.
Yeah. They were under 20 points a game.
I'll take the quick layup. It's the Jets. This is not a hard one to figure out. 29th in the NFL last year with 17.4 points per game. Maybe shocking to some because they were competing in a lot of games. Their points per game went down last year compared to a very bad 2021. Injuries to Breece Hall, quarterback problems. Garrett Wilson couldn't do it all despite being the offensive rookie of the year. So the Jets, it's low-hanging fruit, but Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, the return of Breece Hall, yeah, this is a team that should be in the top five in terms of points per game jump.
Yeah, I think that this is probably the odds-on favorite for the largest jump this year because of everything you mentioned. I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. I think that, you know, you had Lamar Jackson lost last year, but in addition to that, Todd Monken coming over as the new OC, adding offensive weapons to the receiving game. I think this team is going to play faster. And just the fact that you go from an injured Lamar to a healthy Lamar, the Baltimore Ravens should be great. And I want to throw one other team out. I don't think they'll have the biggest jump necessarily. But for fantasy purposes, this is a team that almost for sure will have a significant jump. They'll go from like 26th to, you know, middle of the pack, and that's the division mates of the Ravens, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I believe Kenny Pickett will – I believe he couldn't repeat the amount of touchdowns thrown per pass.
Don't tell Kenny Pickett what he can or cannot do.
I mean, it would be almost impossible for him to repeat that level of
touchdown percentage. Well, because he'd be benched. They wouldn't let him get there.
Exactly.
You can't repeat it from the bench.
They've made massive improvements to their offensive line. And for fantasy football purposes, I think that this is one of those teams that makes the biggest impact. Because they were bad last year, people were high on Deontay Johnson last year, high on Najee last year. They all disappointed. And so this year, they're not being drafted high. They're being drafted thinking that, well, the Steelers are a bad offense. And I think they're going to be an average offense, so I see them as values.
I will say you were very anti-Deontay, and we were all very anti-Najee last year. The departure of Big Ben was at least a sign that things might be troublesome. So, but you're right. It was as bad as it gets, so there's an opportunity there. 18.1 points per game. Not good. All right, Mike.
News and notes from around the league.
Like I said, we're recording this early, so for us, this is breaking news. The Vikings have informed Dalvin Cook of his impending release.
Yes, so for every opportunity, there is an opportunity cost. Dalvin Cook will be moving on. He will be finding a new team. However, it's Alexander Madison time, baby. We made it, everybody. We made it. Oh, we made it. We're many years into this process. We've been holding on. We've been holding on to our underground champion, knowing that when he gets the opportunity, he comes through in a very, very big way. Now the opportunity is there. The writing was on the wall when they gave him the contract that had a decent amount of money for the running back position. He comes in. Look at what they did last year with Dalvin Cook. He was basically a workhorse running back. You saw Alexander Madison's attempts dialed back this past year. Is that because this is what the new coaching regime wants? You have O'Connell up there who came from the Sean McVay system, which McVay, when he has his guy, McVay is a one running back system as well. So I am very, very excited for what Alexander Madison can do. He can catch passes. We've seen him essentially start six games, and in those six games he has been truly a difference maker for the fantasy football running back position. And looking at the depth chart, it's like we talked about it on the last show that Ty Chandler probably in line to be the backup. They did draft Dwayne McBride in the seventh round, who I like. I think that McBride is a very interesting running back, but he was kind of hurt through the process. Small school, great production profile, but small school, so it will take, I think, a lot for him to come in and make some noise on the depth chart. So just looking at what they have right now, this team is moving forward. Madison is their guy. It now comes down to a question of what do you believe the talent level of Madison is, and that's where you should draft him, because he will skyrocket. If you haven't been drafting him with the rumor mill being really, really strong saying that Dalvin Cook won't be on this team, it's been an incredible discount in underdog tournaments, because he'll shoot up fourth, maybe even the third round. So I will now cede the floor in my excitement to where you guys are, because I'm at the top. I love Alexander Madison. I've loved him since he came into the league, and I think now with this opportunity, he's going to be a difference maker.
I mean, I'm not there, but he's going to be much. I mean, he's definitely a bargain in best ball where you would. Been drafted.
Had been, yeah.
It was a bet. It was a bet that you won. Mike has him at 16. I wanted to look at this because we updated our rankings this morning with the news. I got him at 26, Jason at 23. I believe he slid right ahead of like Samaje Perine right now in my rankings at 26. My confidence in the talent of Alexander Madison is not maybe where Mike's is. I realize that he's been good when Cook has been gone. I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah, you had five games with 20-plus rushing attempts for Alexander Madison. In those games, 112 rushing yards, 113, 90, 95, 112, never averaging fewer than 4.1 carries in any of those games.
Yeah, and it was a lot of volume. One thing I think is partially missed from that equation has been it was a Zimmer team. This is year five for Madison. He's played in 59 football games. He's had the last 2 years, not well below, but 3.7, 3.8 a carry. I might look at him more like when Joik Bell was thrust into a starting position. You know, it wasn't like we went into this offseason knowing that Alexander Madison was, you know, everybody believes he's the guy that's going to start for the Vikings. He's the incumbent. He's the guy that's there. So do they bring another body in? I think it's possible.
Sure.
I think Madison fits more of the later RB2 realm with upside. Volume is tough. I think his career high in carries is 134. So when you go from 134 to where I think I have him at 220, I'm guessing Mike has him higher than that. Carry wise, I don't know where you put him, Jason.
I got him at 243 right now.
243.
224.
Okay, so we're very similar in ranking and in workload. Can he be efficient enough on 220 carries? Can he score enough touchdowns? If he does, you know, then we just found another running back that's meaningful for fantasy.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to throw cold water.
No,
it's a huge victory for you in the this is the stock that you bought like 4.5 years ago.
Yeah,
and everyone's been like, this is not one to have on.
Yeah.
In your portfolio, and you're like, no, it's a hold.
Kramer's been hitting sell yeah, for
you held
noise
it
buttons.
And you held it and you held it and you held it and you held it. And then this morning it got the hockey stick.
Yeah, I mean, these things don't usually pan out, and it did, so that's great. Alexander Mattison is not as talented as Dalvin Cook, just period. So he's not going to be he isn't going to be what Dalvin Cook was. I don't see him as an RB1, but this is a good offense. This is a bad defense. This is a guy who's thrust into a role where you assume, even if it is a shared workload and it's not, you know, full true workhorse, because obviously Dalvin Cook was a true, you know, 70%
yes.
snap type player. You know, if Alexander Mattison is a 60% snap player, that's awesome. You want any NFL player at 60% as part of a good offense. That's going to be valuable for fantasy. I see him as a pretty solid running back too for fantasy purposes in that 13 to 24 range, and it's really just a matter of where does his ADP end up. If you're drafting now, it'll be a slower climb.
Let's play a game briefly. Who's the bigger risk? Okay, I'm gonna say it's Mattison or
Okay.
This is just risk.
Just risk. Okay. Just like because there's a bunch of players that you have a bet. You have to make a bet on at running back. We talked about him recently. Is Mattison or Cam Akers a bigger risk?
Akers.
Okay. Is Alexander Mattison or Rashad White a bigger risk?
Rashad White.
White.
Is J.K. Dobbins or Alexander Mattison a bigger risk?
Mattison.
Yep.
David Montgomery or Alexander Mattison? Who's the bigger risk?
Montgomery.
Mattison. Okay. You don't risk. I. That's a matter of what it costs. I just feel like it doesn't. You're not risking a lot on
Aaron
that.
Jones or Alexander Mattison. Who's the bigger risk?
That one is close.
Super interesting.
They're back-to-back for me.
He was the guy that I looked at in my rankings, and I thought, push comes to shove, who do I think is going to be better this year, Aaron Jones or Alexander Mattison? Obviously going off of just risk, just saying for fantasy purposes, you know, I see him about that tier. You know, you've got question marks without Aaron Rodgers for Aaron Jones, and you've got question marks about Alexander Mattison, but they're both going to get a lot of work.
And the volume point is interesting, and I want to talk about Dalvin Cook's prognosis, I guess. But last year, Dalvin Cook was a Pro Bowler. He was over 1,100 yards on the ground.
He joined who's the Baltimore Ravens quarterback? I can't think of his name right now.
Huntley?
Is that who it was? It was Huntley.
What do you mean he joined him, though?
In the Pro Bowl.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
If you make the Pro Bowl, we're bringing
it. I'm just saying that Pro Bowl is not necessarily what it used to be.
He had touchdowns of 53, 81. He had a 40-yard run. He had a 64-yard touchdown reception. Those are not areas that I believe Alexander Mattison will
be. And I would agree.
So, to me, it comes down to I think it's a little bit more of a touchdown gamble than people may want to recognize.
Mattison,
I think four touchdowns, eight touchdowns, totally different season for Mattison.
I would agree with you on that, but if I had to bet whether or not Alexander Mattison can succeed in the touchdown game, I think he will. He had five touchdowns last year.
Sure.
You know, on only 74 carries, he's a 216-pound back that's big enough to be used around the goal line, and like I said, good offense. And that was while Dalvin had eight rushing touchdowns. So, yeah, I think that the opportunity for, you know, upside is certainly there for Mattison.
And for me, it's touchdowns and what does the target share look like? Because Dalvin Cook, that was the lowest target share of Dalvin Cook's career. He was down at 9%. So will Mattison see 9 or 10% of the targets? Or
could be more reflective of the new offense that we got last year.
That's what I'm saying.
They added Addison.
Nice.
They added
Jordan Addison.
Edison.
But it's like there's a big difference if Madison sees 6% of the targets or closer to 10. That would be a wide swing for his fantasy.
And simply because of I want the sound rolling off my tongue. Addison or Madison, Jason?
Addison. I'll take, man, I love Addison. But
do you want to add Addison or add Madison?
I'll go Madison.
Would you add Madison or?
I think I would add Madison behind Madison. I would add Addison behind Madison.
Right. Okay. All right.
Sure. And I guess we can mention the name Nwangwu, who was also there at Minnesota. So, like,
Dwayne McBride was later, right?
Yeah, he was a seventh rounder. Yep. So I'm just like, it sounds like it's going to be Ty Chandler.
Speaking of, so now Dalvin Cook ends up being, much like DeAndre Hopkins, a still talented, probably not at peak player hitting the open market. Probably, you know, these players generally hit the market with an expectation of more money than they'll get.
Mm-hmm.
Cause they believe, I mean, look, he's 1100 plus yards, I think, in like six straight years or something like that for Cook.
You have
and to Hopkins believes he's the best in the game still too. So both of those players might not land where you think they should land. Like, you know, I know Dalvin Cook would love to go to Buffalo.
Sure.
Wants to play with his brother. Hopkins wanted to go to Buffalo. They're not interested in paying that kind of money. There are a ton of places that make sense. Miami's at the top of the list. The depth chart there, for what they want to do, it's not impressive.
The Broncos would be at the top of the list for me.
Sure. I'm in of teams currently showing interest, but yeah, you're talking about for fantasy purposes.
No, not just for fantasy. I mean, I think they need him. I think they could use him as a 1 year player. You know, if Javonte's
their money is a problem, I'm with you on the Sean Payton's running game with Dalvin Cook and the only competition being P. Ryan and Javonte coming off of injury. I think that's his highest fantasy ceiling. A lot of people think Miami, though, because they believe he'll have the majority of the work. And you know, that's probably true. You're probably going to get 60% Dalvin Cook if he lands in Miami and then some scatterooski from is that a Devon Achane?
Oh, I wasn't sure if you were doing a scat back or a poop joke.
I leave those to you.
Just
but there are other places that are interesting too. Is there anybody else on the list, a wish list for Dalvin Cook? Dallas has been brought up.
Yeah.
We're sitting there with the McCarthy wants to run the football and he's got Pollard ... and Ronald Jones.
Yeah, it's the funny thing of fantasy football of everyone sitting who had believed in Madison, made the fantasy football investment to get him. Okay, everything is the, like you said, the hockey stick has now gone way up, and now everyone else out in the NFL sits with their hands trembling just at least a little bit because you have no idea where Dalvin Cook is going to go. You have to imagine at some point over this offseason, the Vikings went to him and said, "Hey, you want to stay here? Here's what we'll give you. Like, you can take less money and stay here." And then Dalvin Cook likely said, "No, I'm worth more money. I will bet on myself the same way that Ezekiel Elliott did for the Dallas Cowboys," which that is currently a bet that is.
Yeah, he might go back to Dallas.
That is not cashing out for Elliott.
Hopkins, Zeke to a degree, certainly Dalvin Cook. These are fantasy football warheads about to be dropped onto some backfield, some wide receiver room that are going to have massive implications. So, you know, whether we don't know as of this recording if any of that's happened, but when it happens, it'll be impactful and we'll talk about it. All right. We are going, I think that's it for news today.
Yes.
How you doing there, Judge?
Doing great.
Having a spectacular day?
Oh, yeah.
You got any Madison back there, Brooksy?
Nah, I'm not having
that. Only me! Only one left!
Look, before we move
this ship is empty.
I'm going to tell you, if there's a guy in your league like Mike, you trade him Alexander Madison today. Because that's it. You trade him?
Sir, if there is a guy like me in your league, they already had Alexander Madison. Yeah. You cannot trade them now.
If you can trade Madison at his peak value, this is just a principle we bring up all the time. If you can trade him for what he hasn't proven, you don't lose the deal.
Right.
You automatically win the deal. He either delivers to the level that you traded him at because somebody like Mike, who somehow doesn't have him.
It's impossible.
It's your opportunity.
This will be my triumphant best third round rookie pick of all time.
It just took 5 years.
Hey, Michael Turner took some time as well, my friend.
That's fair.
Michael Turner has been used as that example.
Has he?
For 9, 10, 15 years.
And I'm using him again.
There's only one. The only reason Michael Turner's the only one that's brought up like that.
Yeah, but now we can
stop. Because he's the only one that's ever done it.
If Madison does well, who's Turner?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, if you Mike's got so many years into this. All right, quick break. Back with the ADP price check.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners. To learn more and get a quote, restrictions apply.
It's been a good morning for
good
Mike.
Good times.
It's been a good morning for Mike. All right, let's do it.
You better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Okay. It's time. We're going to play a little game of sorts while we break down where certain players are going in drafts. We talked on the last episode about the value of ADP, the average draft position in your league, where players are moving, where they're going in mock drafts, in real drafts soon enough. And we're going to take a shot at guessing ADP for a number of players while we talk about them. Is that correct, Brooksy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That means yes. That's another way to say yes.
Oh yes.
I realized I said oh yeah earlier and it felt off brand, so
I had to
make up for it.
I appreciate Kool-Aid. You.
That's a Kool-Aid thing. You don't want to trample on that trademark.
You'll be hearing from the Kool-Aid man very soon.
That's right.
And he shows up through walls.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean,
you better be careful.
He's actually one of the best people at giving you the
summons. You got served by
There's
the Kool-Aid
nobody
man.
Better than the Kool-Aid man. To give you a summons.
He doesn't just knock on your door.
He's relentless.
Guys, you just scared me so bad because I looked at the screen and I realized I'm sitting
right
in front of a brick wall, and that is his favorite.
Why? He goes through bricks more than anything else.
I mean, it's just easy, I guess, to knock
the shape
out.
It wasn't easy for the big bad wolf, but for him, it's easy.
Well, because the wolf was, he puffed.
That's true.
He didn't have a giant,
oh boy,
indestructible shell.
That's some strong glass for what it's worth.
Very tempered.
Yeah. Christian.
Did I get Owl to laugh on that one?
You did.
Yeah.
A good tempered glass joke.
Yeah, man. Nothing like a tempered glass joke. Christian Watson, wide receiver for the Packers. Responsible for one of the most ridiculous touchdown runs that we've seen in recent history in the middle of last year. Runs very fast. Where do you think he's going? We have him ranked right now. Jason's the highest at 24. Don't mind it. I'm at 35, Mike at 38.
I don't like my ranking. I think it's too low.
I think he's – so I'm not sure exactly.
Dobble down?
Dobble?
You gonna go? You gonna go on him over Dobbs, Watson?
Oh, I did not know where that is.
Yeah, that's
Boston.
Is that that one? Because we got other buttons.
Yeah, the crickets
for that one. We got that.
That's more appropriate.
I forget how early it is.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I would rather have Christian Watson than Dobbs. Oh, the Dobbs is getting hype train again.
Give me the ADP.
The
what
ADP.
Do you think he is?
So.
This is all redraft ADP. It's not best ball,
okay,
where I think Christian Watson represents even a higher value.
I think he's going to be right around where I have him ranked, around the wide receiver 24, which should put him in that fourth round, late fourth
round.
Whoa,
that's spicy. I thought I was going to go, I'll go sixth round.
I'll split the difference. I think late fifth. I think late fifth. He is, wow, okay, 5'11".
Late
there
fifth.
There we go.
And that ironically, it does match up with the wide receiver number Jason was bringing up.
Okay, so I was right on the wide receiver number, and you were right on the round that that would relate to. Mike, you're this round's biggest loser.
So 5'11" is the wide receiver 23 off the board right now. So that's where Watson is going. I don't mind that spot in drafts. I mean, you're looking in the sixth round, into the fifth round for some upside, and, you know, talent generally wins out. I don't want to overemphasize Jordan Love because Aaron Rodgers had a bad season. Like, this was not a great year from Aaron Rodgers.
Sure. I mean, a bad year for Aaron Rodgers, but a bad year from Aaron Rodgers. Big Ben Roethlisberger. We had a bad year from him, and it still gave us fantasy goodness from Deontay and Najee Harris. You go to Kenny Pickett, you're like, well, it certainly can't be worse. Oh, yes, it can.
Well, people shut down the Seahawks, though, and they shut down the wide receivers last year. Right? I mean, Russell Wilson departed, and these guys, ADP was disgusting.
Yes.
It was revolting. But talent won out because Geno was competent enough to pull that off. And the truth is I believe that the structure in Green Bay is solid. I mean, you have a coach that's a proven winner. You have opportunities there. So I don't mind. Like, I have him ranked lower than – it's just how it ended up in the stats. But
yeah, I think the question about Christian Watson comes down to talent. You're right, talent wins out. But is he a DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, future talent?
Yeah, or is he, let me give you the best one, Gabriel Davis.
Exactly. That's the other side. When I look at him, obviously he did not have a large college production profile, but he was playing for a team that was a run-first team. He was a senior, went and dominated the Senior Bowl. Like, he was the talk of the town at the Senior Bowl, and I remember buying in on his talent because of the people there in person who said that guy just blew people away. It was reminiscent of Cooper Kupp, reminiscent of Debo Samuel, who did this. You know, they showed up to the Senior Bowl game. They were coming from programs where it was like they weren't as heralded, but then they just wowed everyone. So it makes me believe in his talent a little bit more when you had that experience and then he shows up in the NFL and runs away from guys and dominate. So I think I bet on the side that says he is not Gabriel Davis.
The five players in history, rookie wide receivers with 7+ receiving touchdowns on fewer than 45 receptions. Christian Watson at the top, Martavis Bryant, we remember that. That's not one you want to end
up
like.
Comp.
Yeah.
Gabe Davis.
Martavis is a TBD. It's been determined.
Has been determined.
But I'm saying that Martavis Bryant was, like, if Martavis Bryant were in the league
he
right now.
He was undermined by the off the field.
Was never determined.
Yes. That's what I was trying to say.
Gabe Davis is the third on that list. Jahan Dotson, who we have a lot of optimism for. And then Anthony Miller.
It's not a great list. I mean, obviously, Martavis Bryant, we don't know because
it's just it's a wild stat. I mean, 7+ receiving touchdowns on 45
crazy
receptions. All right, the second name is Miles Sanders. Guess his ADP. Right now, we have him ranked very similarly. Jason's the highest at 12. I've got him at 15. Mike at 15. He's the guy in Carolina last year, fifth most rushing yards, fourth most red zone touches in Philly. I don't think that the connection of Miles Sanders, the fatigue of his name, the Carolina Panthers in general are going to be pushing this guy very high. I think he's going to be a value. So ADP wise, where do you think he's at?
I agree completely with you. I can't see him being higher than running back 18 or so in average draft price. So I'm gonna say running back 18 for ADP, which would that be fourth round if running backs are pushed up in redraft?
I would think that would be fourth round, yeah. And I think that's where he is. That would be my guess as well, like 402.
Okay, so but what running back do you think he is off the board right now?
17.
I'll go 16.
Okay.
Okay.
No whammy. No whammy. No whammy. No whammy.
Let's reveal. 5'10".
Oh, running back 22.
Wow.
Fantastic value.
I think we were all trying to give him the depressed value, and it wasn't depressed enough. I'm going to make Brooks reveal these from now on. You cool doing that, Brooks?
Yeah.
I just feel like there's more suspense in that. Plus, he has to say something other than,
No, that's the cool. Yeah, now we're in a Kool-Aid Man problem
again.
It's
his fault, not mine. 5'10 is a steal, I think. RB22. You know, you look at Miles Sanders at RB22 in drafts and wherever Madison ends up, that'll be an interesting one.
It will.
Because I would much rather have Miles Sanders.
Yeah, it's ironic. Christian Watson and Miles Sanders are back-to-back, according to this ADP. I would rather have Miles Sanders there because there are very few guys that – in the NFL could be workhorse running backs. I believe that they are bringing him in to use him that way. I think he will be, a 65 to 70% snap player. I really, really think he's one of the better values. I worry about the offense with a rookie quarterback starting week one.
Breaking news, by the way. Finally, Bryce Young is taking first snaps above Dalton.
Oh,
can you believe that?
Oh, man, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
But, he's going to start week one. And in the last decade or so, when you look at the quarterbacks who have started week one, their offenses haven't been great for the season, and their running backs haven't been usually great. I think only one example of, a top 12 running back attached to those teams. So there are some up. It's not all roses, which is why he's, at the back of the fifth round. But when I look at the system, the coach, the money they gave him, the depth chart, what this offensive line did last year with Deonta Foreman, and I think the opportunity is great for him.
Anything to add on Miles Sanders, Mike?
Do you
have fears of the quarterback situation?
I do.
Last year it was, Baker Mayfield? Sam Darnold? PJ Walker? Is that right?
Oh, man, I totally forgot.
I know.
I had deleted
when
that.
When I just said it out loud, I was expecting to be corrected. That's right, right?
Yeah.
Baker was a Panther.
He was traded there to start.
Right. Yeah, because last offseason, there was all the, he's going to be better than Darnold.
Yeah, we were on the DJ Moore. This will be the best quarterback he's played.
I'm only bringing those names up because that was bad.
Sure.
The Mayfield, Darnold, PJ Walker, and Frank Reich I have a lot of confidence in. So I do have some optimism around Miles Sanders and that offense being competent in a bad division.
Yeah, I have some optimism. I have him ranked higher than that ADP, but
yeah.
I think the risk on Miles Sanders is extremely high. We have teams that have started a rookie quarterback week one average about 4.5 wins, and that is
not the metric you want with running backs.
That is not. A winning team correlates high with a strong fantasy running back. I mean, that's no duh, because teams that are winning, then they end up running more at the end of the game, more opportunities for scoring. So that does scare me a little bit. When you look back, Deonta Foreman had some huge spike weeks, like absolutely crushed the Falcons, had a couple more, I believe, as well. But he also had some games that were just like absolute duds. So I think that if Miles Sanders doesn't get the workload that the money dictates he should, you're going to have a busted draft pick.
Do you have him ranked one spot ahead of Madison, I believe, right? If he's at 15
let me see. Let me double check.
I bet they're about the same spot.
Yeah, they're very close as of now.
Who would you rather have?
Like as of today, I think I would take Madison. I think I would.
Yeah, bet on the offense.
Yeah, and that's what it is. Is the Vikings are going to score a ton of points, and because Kirk Cousins will put up 4,500 yards, close to 30 passing touchdowns, And then it's like, well, how many points a game do the Panthers actually score? 20? Do they hit the 20 mark? Hopefully.
That's a good side to bet is on the offense. Yep. Travis Etienne, Jacksonville running back. We got to guess the ADP. We have him at 17, 19, and 21. I've got him the highest. Oddly wasn't as used in the passing game. We brought this up.
It's so strange.
Considering his capability there and in the connection with Trevor Lawrence. 5.1 a carry in the second half, 9 per reception. You watched it. It was an eyeball thing. I mean, every time he took the handoff, he was shot out of a cannon. Dealt with some injuries.
Although there's also an eyeball thing with him, too, where I have never seen any running back yeah. get exploded so many times. Yeah. He gets tackled where he just gets like ran into and he flies back 5 yards. I saw it like 20 times last year.
The ragdoll physics is very high.
What was the joke that we made about him in the beginning of
the work pony?
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, that wasn't very nice. No, the work pony idea because he looks smaller than maybe he even is and gets blown up. But you know what? That's like when the cars, you've seen the accidents. You've seen the crash test dummies. You're going 80.
Yeah.
That's a worse accident than going 40.
That is fair. I think he's going to be very high in average draft position because of his explosive
I think RB 13 or 14.
I'm going to go 12. I think he cracks into the RB1 ADP.
I'll go RB 15.
Is this a third round pick to
wait,
you then?
Wait, well, yeah.
I think 13. I'm going to go RB 13.
I'm going to say that becomes, it's at the end 2 3 second, term. Yeah. I'm going to go end of second.
All right.
304, RB 13.
Oh, very well done, Andrew.
The optimism around it's warranted. I mean, this is a team that is projected to win the division. We just talked about winning teams. He's by far the most talented back that they have. You guys have shared some concerns that were somewhat the team came out and said they don't want him to take as much of the load as he was forced to last year. And so they may share some of that, but he's a highly efficient back. And he had 220 carries last year, got a little banged up at the end. You'd love to see the receptions go up a little bit. He only scored 5 times to finish as the RB17. So his range of outcomes, like he doesn't qualify as a wild card because he doesn't have the like going to ruin you outcome, I don't think.
No.
But he does have a wide range of outcomes for a player you're taking in the third round.
Yeah, I mean, we all have him pretty significantly behind where his average draft position is, and it feels a little scary because when you have a super explosive athlete like he is, another year removed from his injury like he is, on an offense that projects to be better with an ascending quarterback, as is his situation, it's really tough to bet against that. But this coaching staff has a history of using a pretty big timeshare.
Yes.
Three backs, four backs in a system. They've talked about doing that and lessening his load. And then they went and grabbed Tank Bigsby, who I believe is a pretty good running back. So maybe that opens
Hasty back as well.
Yeah, maybe that opens things up for Travis Etienne to be hyper efficient because he certainly can be. But I see his volume. He's a guy that I haven't been able to draft almost at all because I think he's just going too high for where I think his medium outcome is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. I don't see it as a committee. I don't think either of you guys do either, right, in Jacksonville? When you look at committee, I'm thinking, you're talking Ramondre and Damian Harris from last year. You're talking about those situations. I don't see it as that kind of an outcome.
I think
Bigsby on third down has to prove himself, and that is a – that is a tall task for his previous performance in pass protection.
It's not just third down. I think for Bigsby with that draft capital, I think he'll get a lot of first and second down as well.
Was he third?
He was a day two pick.
So day two. I mean a platoon as far as like mid 50 percentile for Travis Etienne.
All right, Michael Pittman.
Oh, man.
Got any drops you want to slam, Mike?
I don't have that one.
Get me out of that.
Yeah.
Get me out of that drop.
Hey, wait, are we back?
Why am I in the picture?
Are we back on Pity City?
No, you go back to Mike.
Hold on, let me see what I got. That's everybody.
All in it. I think that's the wrong drop, though.
Yeah, it is. That's the one I was expecting.
Yeah.
taking the new role of Alexander Madison in Mike's rosters.
What? No. What?
The forever wait.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Pittman will take that spot. Look, we have him ranked...
probably too low.
Probably too low. 36, 35, 40.
I don't know, man.
I think it is. I mean, 141 targets last year. Targets are a predictive stat, an earned stat.
And you lose Paris Campbell, and he's talented. And you have a better offensive...
Head coach?
A better offensive head coach than what they had through last year. I don't necessarily think he's better than what they started with last year.
It's no Saturday. look, I know a lot of Mike's lack of confidence comes in Anthony Richardson. I have been taking my shots with Anthony Richardson in best ball drafts.
Oh, I think that's fine.
He may be my back in redraft. Or I mean my quarterback in redraft. Just the way that like my roster and lack of draft picks may leave me to the for that guy, get the RG3 season. But
I totally get that.
This is the lowest receiving yards ever for a wide receiver with 99 receptions in a season, 99 plus. It's the lowest fantasy production ever for a wide receiver with 99 plus receptions in a season. He had 4 touchdowns. He was under 1,000 yards. In 3 seasons, he's caught passes from Rivers, Wentz, Matt Ryan, Ellinger, as we would say,
yes.
And Nick Foles. And now you get Anthony Richardson. And 70% of the time, a rookie quarterback fails to support a top 36 wide receiver, which is why Mike would say maybe we don't have him ranked too low.
That is the statistic that has me the most shooketh and concerned for Michael Pittman, because Anthony Richardson, he used the targets, right? Incredible volume for Michael Pittman last year. What will this team be? Like at the team level, what's the pace of play going to be? Will it be a little bit slower? It certainly could be. Now take a mobile quarterback into that situation where every drop back, you have a chance that instead of actually unloading a target, Anthony Richardson, the positive play for him might be run. Just pick up 5 here, and that's an opportunity that's gone for Michael Pittman.
When you think of Lamar, you think of RG3, and you think of play action passing, and the opportunities to take advantage of the rocket ship arm that Anthony Richardson has, you think of Pierre Garçon down the field.
Yes.
DeShaun Jackson. It's Alec Pierce here. Yeah, yeah. That was my point. Is that it's not – I know Michael Pittman is capable of catching a downfield target. I'm not saying he's not, but Pierce is faster, and Pierce was brought in to do that. So I do think that the fears are warranted. Where do you think he's going? Because I think he's going
I think
higher.
Yeah, I think he's going to go much higher. He's still got a very recognizable name and had a lot of stats last year. I'm going to say like wide receiver 24.
I was going to say 25.
So I'm going to go early 602.
Okay.
Wide receiver 24.
Yeah, 24 was the number off the top of my head.
I think he's still a fifth round pick.
What do we got?
But I guess we just said Watson was, 5'11 at 23?
Yeah.
All right, 603, Jason. Brooksy, where is he?
Wow, so close. 601, wide receiver, 25.
25.
Yeah.
That's 2 in a row on the
that
number.
It is. Impressive.
I do think that's too high. You look at a guy who last year got 141 targets did not crack 1,000 yards. And this was an offense last year that
Deontay Johnson's giving him a high five.
This is an offense last year that had 3,800 passing yards. I personally have Anthony Richardson statted to play the entire season and finish with 2,800 passing yards. If it's a number
your
like that.
Your market share would have to be outrageous.
Yeah, your market share would have to be.
No expectation of a Cam Newton rookie season.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he throws for 4,000 yards. He's not the passer that Cam Newton was coming out of college. I could certainly see him developing into that. I actually think he's got a really nice pass. He can lay it up with touch. He can hit it small windows down the field. He can throw well on the run. I believe Anthony Richardson develops into a good passer.
I just don't
think he's there.
Let me read who you're currently passing on. If you take Michael Pittman there.
Okay.
Jerry Jeudy.
Ooh, I wouldn't do that.
Mike Evans.
More proven.
Yeah. I can see that Calvin Ridley.
You know I'm in.
I'd probably take Ridley.
Williams.
I'd take Mike Williams.
Deontay. Yeah, Lockett. Hollywood.
Lockett. Hollywood, yeah.
You Kirk. Haven't said a name yet.
Ayuk.
Kirk is the first
Burks.
One.
Burks. Dotson.
Yeah, I mean, most of these names I'm taking over.
It
over
is
Pittman.
Kind of like maybe it's a wide receiver dead zone for me, where I want to wait for some of those other names that we're about to talk about. Jahan Dotson. I guess I just broke this game, didn't I?
I think he's going
about 8 spots behind Michael Pittman.
Yeah. That's funny.
Whoopsies.
Maybe wide receiver 37 in like the late 8th round, 809. Brooks, what is it, Brooks?
It is 809, wide receiver 37.
Oh, Jason, give yourself a round of applause.
Thank
that
you.
Was
thank you.
Very impressive. Here for- we do this full time. We're kind of the best at it. Okay, so Jahan Dotson doesn't get the suspense, but we all of them rank significantly higher than that ADP, wide receiver 37. I've got him at 20. Jason
Dotson,
at 28.
We got Dotson here.
Mike at 32. Thank you for recent hit Jurassic Park reference.
we all like the talent. What we saw towards the end of last year when Jahan Dotson got back from his injury was a real consolidation of targets between him and Terry McLaurin. That's how I've projected this next season to be, with him taking another step forward. I mean, year two wide receivers are one of the best bets in fantasy football. They usually outperform what their ADP is on average, and the talent was easily, you know, viewable with your eyeballs. So there's not the what you don't like about Jahan Dotson is the quarterback situation. That's that's what sucks.
That was going to be my question for you as the sole supporter of Sam Howell. I was going to say on the show, but maybe west of the Mississippi. We'll
west of his mom's house.
but you like Jahan Dotson. So what do you want to happen? Do you want Jacoby Brissett to beat out Sam Howell and be the quarterback so you get maybe a little bit more clarity on Dotson and McLaurin? Or do you want to see Sam Howell, you know, howl at the moon?
Well, I mean, you know me. I want Sam Howell to win the job and be good. Like, that's my hope and
goal. Win the job.
No. I said
by
both.
By default.
I said both. I want him to win the job and be good. Be good enough to win the job, not by default. So, it's a tall task.
It's really hard because you're going, like, there's no young quarterback like Sam Howell that isn't going to have a bumpy game here or there. And unfortunately, at least in my opinion, you guys can, I mean, also the opinion of the 12 quarterbacks that have played for Washington over 5 years, that you can't really predict the, like, trigger finger for Ron Rivera. Like, sometimes it's like, you know, Taylor Heinicke has a nice three quarters or a game, and it's like, this is our guy.
Yeah, he's the future.
This is our guy. This is what I love about him. He's gritty. He's tough. He gets us wins. He throws it to Terry McLaurin all the time. And then it's like two weeks later, it's like, no, he's going to take a seat. We're going to go back to Carson Wentz.
We've asked him to retire.
And you want
to
know why? You do that because you lose.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing Dallas twice. You're playing Philly twice. You're playing the Giants twice. That's 6 possible chances to switch your quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Sam Howell not playing the entire season because there will be a switch made at some point. And it's not really fair. If he was a first-round pick, if he was someone that they invested in, and this is why draft capital matters
so much.
You know, he could have a bad first season here, and you just keep going. You keep plugging him in there. But he was a 5th-round pick. As soon as they lose a couple games – and he throws a couple picks, and that will happen. He's gonna get the rug pulled up.
And maybe the strategy for Washington for once should be committing to a player, no matter what.
Yeah,
I mean, this whole idea of like we got to have competition in camp, no matter what. Maybe the new route could be giving Sam Howell a bit of a leash to work. We just talked about developing players, right? I mean,
yeah, but on the other hand, you have people who want to maintain their jobs.
Yep.
And at the end of the season, what does the management look at? Does it go, okay, we lost more than we won, but we feel like maybe we are developing this guy right here? Or is it more important for the management to say, okay, you had a 500 season. It was a tough draw with the quarterbacks we had. We'll give you one more chance.
Yeah, it's fair. So All that being said, Jahan Dotson is a talent.
He's very
good. From the time he returned, same targets, same yardage, I think a better touchdown pace than McLaurin last year. They were neck and neck. So this is definitely one of those situations. You guys have brought it up with Metcalf and Lockett. You could bring it up with
A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith.
Yeah, and Devonta Smith. If you're going to go in on one, I'm going in on Jahan Dotson. I'm not. I think the unknown of his upside is more exciting to me, considering I believe his downside is almost the same as Terry McLaurin's floor, as long as these guys are healthy.
Yeah, and that's not to say he is probably the better value. That's not to say that you can't go in on Terry McLaurin or that Terry McLaurin's not better. You can go in on DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf can be better. You can go in on A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown can be better.
That's right.
But it's usually the second guy who has the better value for where you're drafting them, if they're far enough. So sometimes, like Devonta Smith has been.
Was like around?
He's like not that much cheaper.
You see Debo Samuel come out and say he's going to
bounce
back from his, quote, awful season.
It's nice to know yourself.
Yeah,
I like that better than him coming out and being like, I was awesome last year. What are you talking about? Like, if he thinks that season was bad, that's great. He doesn't want to do that.
All right, good guesses on Jahan Dotson, by the way.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to wrap this one today. Like I said, we're recording this early, so we'll be back with any breaking news, talk through any of these new landing spots for certain players very soon. Thank you for joining us. And FootClanGiveaway.com if you want to win that jersey.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Oh, hey, you're still here? Take a second and head over to jointhefoot.com and consider supporting our independent podcast. You get access to exclusive episodes every week, access to a thriving community of 30,000 plus like-minded fantasy football players, and access to special tools to help you win each week. Learn more at jointhefoot.com.